Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 166 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am so excited to get you my chat that I had with Matt Rushworth. He is right now currently working at Adamson Barbecue in Toronto, Canada, and we get into that and how he got the job and his upbringing and his schooling and what his path was and how it switched to barbecue and how he was with Adamson as they grew and continued evolving. And he's with them now, but he's going to branch off. He's going to have Matty Boy Barbecue Catering. It's going to be in Kingston, Ontario, which is about 3.5 hours, 4 hours away from Toronto. It's where he grew up. He's going to be doing catering. Adam Skelly from Adamson Barbecue is giving him tons of guidance, and they're getting together every couple weeks. They work together, but they're getting together to kind of map out and to help him out. It's a great story. It's really interesting, and it's an interesting path. It's similar to a path that a lot of people have here in the United States, but it's from a Canadian perspective, and I think you'll find that extremely interesting. Also, Matt is just a stand-up guy, a great guy. He's forthright about everything. He's not pretentious. He gives the entire story in a way that makes you understand who he is as a person. So I appreciate the fact that he sat down. I know you're going to enjoy this. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on anything. I do about 2 of these per week. If you're listening to this just on the podcast, I do have a YouTube version of all of these at youtube.com/Kevin's BBQ Joints. I'm available on all the social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. Also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with all links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, all the barbecue joint visits, all the butcher shop visits, all the steakhouse visits. Got lots of cool stuff and original content. I have a weekly list of all the barbecue pop-ups in and around Los Angeles, as well as a list of all the barbecue pop-ups and underground spots in Texas. Every week it's updated, so that way you could scout out some new barbecue places. By the end, thanks so much for listening. I do appreciate it. Enjoy. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm glad we got a chance to do this. There's a lot of stuff you have coming up, but I also wanted to kind of see and like share your path on how you got to where you are today. Did you grow up in Toronto?
No, actually. I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, which is about a 2.5-3 hour drive away from Toronto. It's like a I guess you'd say it's Canada's Boston, I guess. It's like really old historic town, you know, old university town.
That's really cool. Did you, at that time, like, were you planning on going into the food industry at all when you were growing up? Did you guys cook? Is barbecue, people are always grilling everywhere. Is that something that you guys did as kids?
Yeah, I think in Canada, it's a lot more grilling than it is smoking. And I think that's pretty weather dependent. So yeah, barbecue to Canadians is hamburgers and hot dogs, you know. It's just been within the last, you know, maybe 10-15 years that like a lot of people have started smoking stuff. Mm-hmm. At least on, you know, it's become like super popular in the industry.
Was smoking fish part of your life? I've never asked anybody that from Canada. Is that something that you guys used to do?
No, like that was, that's more like a West Coast, you know, BC.
Oh, it is?
Thing. Okay. It's bigger out there, yeah. But yeah, I cooked all growing up. Like my dad was, you know, kind of the house chef, and he was super into it. And so, and like my mom and grandma were big into baking. So like, you know, I was, you know, a little toddler sitting on the counter, you know, mixing up stuff.
That's cool. So they did spark your interest then?
Yeah, absolutely. Barbecue, God, I remember, like, my dad would do ribs, but I think the first time we did, like, a pork shoulder, I think it was after he went down to, my grandparents had a place in Florida that they would, like, winter in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and one of their neighbors was an old Cuban guy, and he made he smoked pork shoulders and like made Cubanos. Oh, and like my dad came back from Florida because like I think at that time I was in school. Yeah, and he came back from a trip down there to visit and was just like, you gotta have this pork shoulder thing. We gotta get a pork shoulder. And like in grocery stores you couldn't find them, you know.
So how did he do it? Did he find a butcher that had one, or did he even do it? Did he end up doing it?
Yeah. Like found went to a butcher. Got his hands on, like, I think, a picnic roast and, you know, got that on, like, his gas grill sort of thing. So, yeah, that was, like, the first time. I think I was maybe, like, 12 or 13.
Was it good?
First exposure to it. I mean, my memory was that it was good, but
As long as it was good at that point, or at least, yeah, as you're remembering it. And it's interesting too. I think that's a good one to go into because it's a little more forgiving if it's cooked properly, like if you paid attention to it.
like we would do like St. Louis cut ribs, like in the oven in the winter and that sort of thing. Like those were kind of like the, with like lots of barbecue sauce. In the summer, yeah, it'd be more pork shoulders or racks of ribs.
Did you go to college? Was okay, because when we were talking, you said that you have a master's degree. Did you go to school in that area?
Yeah, so I went to Queen's University, which is the university in Kingston. So yeah, I was a townie, but I moved into to downtown in my third year.
Okay.
First couple, I was with my parents. Yeah,
What do you study?
I studied philosophy, history, and I guess all my other free courses I took, like religious studies, which is kind of like history and philosophy rolled into one.
Exactly. Did you want to be a professor? Is that?
Yeah, I think at the beginning I knew I wanted to teach. Whether that was like high school or going to academics. So that was kind of like the, coming out of high school, that's kind of the career path I thought it was going to take.
So this is interesting because, and it's not unlike a lot of the interviews that I do, is that your path was not towards barbecue at all.
No, I worked, I had friends that took a program in photojournalism at one of the colleges that's it's close to Kingston. And I sort of caught the photography bug from them. They would come home for, on holidays or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, these cameras are cool. Like, how do you use this thing? And so I worked for the student newspaper at Queens. And then I got kind of more, I got a job at the museum. We have our military college in Canada is in Kingston as well.
Okay.
So I got a job at the museum there because they were digitizing stuff, and he was like, "I need somebody who knows how digital cameras work and how, like, file things." And I had worked in the library there before that, so then I was kind of like, "Well, maybe I'll kind of go into more libraries or archives or museums." I had this experience in photography, and I found this program in Toronto that is like museum studies, but it's kind of more, it's applicable whether you would work at an archive that had photographs or a museum that has a photography department or like even a library or like community archive or anything like that. So it was like specifically photography and museums and libraries. And I was like, oh, this is like all of my kind
Yeah.
of experience at that point rolled into one. So yeah, that's what brought me to Toronto was this like photography museum program.
Trying to figure out how you made the connection with Adam. Did you get a part-time job? Is that what you're looking for, a job or something? Or is that how, or is that fast forward a lot further?
Well, the program was 2 years. I worked the thing about the museum world is it's like a lot of contracts. So you do, 4 month contracts, 6 month
Oh, that makes
contracts,
sense.
1 year contracts. And I did a few back to back. Like I worked part time during school and full time, like, all 4 months of the summer, all until I think about a year and a half after I graduated grad school. That I was like employed continuously. I guess like my luck ran out, and I was applying to just dozens and dozens and dozens of jobs. It probably got into the hundreds by a certain point. I
That is
interviewed for
tough.
I interviewed for positions in the UK and Canada.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was like a year of being on like unemployment insurance, and then like that ran out at the time. That was about when my dad was diagnosed with cancer,
Oh.
and so it was like a, I don't know, like I got a part-time like minimum wage job, working in a clothing store just so that I could like pay my rent, and because my wife was working full-time. And yeah, so my dad was diagnosed, we got married the next year,
What year was this? Do you
that'd be
remember?
2015.
Okay.
And then, so he passed away in April 2016,
Oh, I'm so
and
sorry. Oh.
that was like, I spent the last couple of weeks with him, and then I came back to Toronto, and it was kind of like a, like, what the hell am I doing? You know, like,
Oh yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
yeah, it's like I have spent at this point, like almost 2 years not in the field that I had, like, you know,
Spent
gone
all this
aggressive
time,
for,
exactly.
invested a huge amount, and like, you know, that was like, it was just kind of like throwing my hands up and being like, what else can I even do? What is my degree applicable to other things? What can I do in that? Would I even enjoy it?
Yeah.
And it was just like,
And with your
you know,
father, that whole, that your brain, yeah.
yeah, it was just like, what else do I like? Because like, even if I want this to work, it's not working. So I got to do something. So I was like, I like to cook. I've never liked the kind of militant, you know, French style kitchen, you know, with the chef and the sous chef and the yes chef, no chef kind
It's
of thing.
intimidating, yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if I could do that. Yeah, it was while I was back home that I was like scrolling on Instagram and found Adamson Barbecue, and like I was kind of a big, like, a barbecue nerd. You know, my friends would be like, oh, this new barbecue place opened up near me, and like I'd go and they'd be like, right, well, thanks guy,
It's
like,
meat.
great conversation. And they're all kind of like, barbecue in Toronto at that point was, or really in Canada, was, you know, kind of a generic southern, you know, very sauce heavy kind of barbecue, right? And I had gone down to Austin in 2012 to go to a conference in at the University of was it University of Texas at Austin. The Harry Ransom Center is there, which is like a big big photography museum. A couple of my friends that went to the grad program, one was in New York City, one was in Pittsburgh, and I was in Toronto, and then we all flew down to Austin together, and we rented a house on Airbnb, which, you know, in those days was
Early
in
days.
the early days of Austin being cool, so you could get like an entire house for $100 a night. You split this house, and I was like, guys, we have to have barbecue while we're here. And they're like, oh yeah, cool, definitely. I'm like, so we have to get up and we have to go wait in line. You know, I was talking about Franklin,
Yeah,
like,
of
you
course.
know, go in line at like 7, 8 a.m. and they'll open at 11, and they're like, what are you talking about? Like, we're not gonna do that. And I'm like, come on, guys. And I think it was at that point, it was either that or at the time it was John Miller Meat Market, I think, the original kind of trailer that he had. I was trying to convince them to go to one of those, and they were just like, well, like, we'd have to miss like half the morning of the conference. That's really what we came here for. So like, I got us to a barbecue place, certainly not a, you know, Texas Monthly top 50 or anything like that, but it was like my first taste of like Texas barbecue.
Do you remember? You don't remember which place it was?
It was Ruby's
Yeah,
on
Ruby's.
just beside the university. We went there, and then afterwards we went to a hole in the wall and drank our faces off. So yeah, I remember going there, and I think at that point the dollar, our dollar was like near parity, so like, like everything seemed so much cheaper to me. And I remember a hole in the wall, I saw a bottle of Booker's, which is like super strong bourbon, and I was like, oh, you guys have Booker's, like, that's, you know, can I get one of those? And the bartender was like, oh, I'm not sure how much that is, just let me check the system. He came back and it was like, just so you know, it's going to be like $6, right? And I'm like, make it a double? Like, I'm used to paying double that for a single in Canada, you know?
Oh,
And
that's
so
so
I
funny.
like drank that all night.
Oh, that's nice. Do you think that was where you got the bug then? Like, did you realize like something's different about this barbecue?
That was definitely like the whole culture of it. Having like having brisket for the first time. Like, it was, I remember it was a really super smoky brisket, and like having it with the white bread and the pickles and the onions like on the tray. Like, it was my first kind of exposure to that.
There's something about that. The first time I had it too, I was like, this is, it's so foreign and so unusual, but so perfect. And you're like, why didn't this exist in my hometown?
And I remember we stuffed ourselves so much that we were walking down to Guadalupe. Is that the street? And we were all so full, like, we would like walk 20 steps and then just stop. was like,
That's a good feeling.
what, you know, what is
Terrible
it
though.
about makes you eat that much? Like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
it makes you feel like an animal. You're like, am I an animal? Like I have self-control, but I can't control myself.
So yeah, that was So yeah, I guess I got kind of off track, but that was my first
No,
experience
that
with
makes
it.
sense. And then
And
you were following, then when you came back, you maybe were, when your friends were bringing you to barbecue places, you were judging them kind of against that experience, right?
yeah, exactly. And yeah, and so I think it was 2015 I smoked my first brisket, watching Franklin videos. I remember the first time I heard about Texas barbecue was actually Robert Rodriguez on the special features of, what was it, the Grindhouse movie. Yeah, he did the one for Once Upon a Time in Mexico with the Porco Pibil, and I've made that a whole bunch. And then when that movie came out and he did the Texas barbecue, it was like brisket and these gigantic beef ribs and an offset smoker and like a loaf of white bread and like that was the I think that was the first time that I ever heard about Texas barbecue. And so
That's it. That's interesting. You're the first person who's ever said that.
and so yeah, it was that and the Franklin
Oh,
videos, like the
interesting.
P series. And I was like, I had to go, I went to like four or five different places looking for a whole brisket in Toronto. And
Good
at that
luck.
point, I'd go down to St. Lawrence Market, which is like kind of a big farmer's market. And there's like a beef supplier there, like that breaks down the whole animals sort of thing. And that was the first place that had packer cut whole briskets, right? And so yeah, I got one from there, and they let me pick it out. They brought out every brisket they had, which was I think eight briskets, and I went through every one to get like the fat coverage and everything that Aaron said in the video, like and yeah, that was my first one. I had this like little, it was like a gas grill, but you could like mount a little firebox on the side, and it
Interesting.
was like lump charcoal and like little chunks of oak that I would put on. And literally you would, if you moved, to raise the temperature like 10 degrees, you could just move the like charcoal pile
Oh,
like a
closer.
couple inches forward and back, and that's how I controlled the temperature, was that little pile. And I did it on my birthday. I got up at 6 in the morning and it was on by 7 a.m. and 7 or 8 a.m. and yeah, it was 12 hours of just poking that tiny little fire and going the whole distance. Everybody thought I was crazy.
And it is a crazy thing too, because it's also at a certain point it becomes nerve-wracking, because you're like, I've spent 7 hours, now 8 hours, now I hope it turns out.
It was like, dude, it's your birthday. Like, why would you want to, like, we'll take you out to dinner. And I'm like, no, this is what I want
That's
to do.
cool.
I
That's
want to
great.
smoke crisp, And I did. And like, I have friends that have since like come to Adamson, and they, I'm like, I don't really remember. It was such a blur because it was 12 hours. By the end of the 12 hours, you don't even want to eat it.
No.
You've been smelling that all day. And like, so I didn't really remember it. And they were all like, no, it was good. It was like tender. It was like it was a good brisket.
Because he didn't really, did you really know about, I'm sure the videos had it, but did you know about resting and all the proper like wrapping and.
Yeah, so I went unwrapped the whole way, and I wrapped it in, I think I let it rest, and then because it was done about an hour early, I like basically covered it in foil
Foil.
loosely, like left it kind of like on the picnic table while I waited for people to show up, sort of thing.
That's perfect.
That was my first time, and that was the only one that I the only brisket I did, because other than that it was a lot of ribs and pork shoulders before I walked into Adamson.
So when you were scrolling through the Instagram, did they have a job opening?
No, they were it was like, I think it was a photo of their cooker, and I was like, oh my God, like an offset, like these guys are in Toronto. Like when I get back into town, like I gotta go try these guys out. And because I'd taken like 2 weeks off of part-time minimum wage work, like I was dead broke. So I got back into town and I worked like overnight shifts and like every spare shift somebody could throw me to just like make my rent. So I wasn't actually able to get, like, I think I worked 7 days a week when I first got back into town. And then the first day that I had free, I was so broke that I had to borrow. I was like, I want to go try out this barbecue place, but it's like the real deal. It opens at 11 a.m. and it goes until it sells out. And I'm like, I'm broke. And my wife is like, oh, for God's sake, here you go. Here's $20. go have lunch. And I was like, oh, thanks. And yeah, I went out there, and it was there was a big lineup. And yeah, at that point, or that day, they were on the front page of the Toronto Star, like the big kind of national paper. And I went up, and I was talking to Adam, because of course he was the one cutting. And I was like, oh, where do you get your briskets from? And like, what wood are you using? And like, you're using like you're using the offset cookers. Like, and I he was like, oh, dude, like, because they were almost sold out. They were down to like chopped brisket and like some sausage, right? And he's like, oh, I'll give you a tour afterwards. And yeah, they sold out probably, 10, 15 minutes after I got my food. And yeah, he came over and he was showing me the cookers, and he was just like, oh man, like this has been crazy. Like, at that point, he had a catering company, and the kind of warehouse space, he like built his own like little commissary kitchen out of like, restaurant auctions and stuff like that. Just to supply his catering company, was kind of like, oh, if we put in like a lunch counter of sorts, like, maybe we can sling some sandwiches and like make some money in between caterings or whatever, right? So he didn't expect it at all to like have lineups at the door. And
That's so crazy.
he's like, this is wild. Like, pretty soon, like, he's like, I'm gonna need like an overnight cook or something just to do all the prep and everything and watch the briskets. And I was just like I didn't walk in there going, I'm gonna get a job at this new barbecue place. But I was kind of like, if there was a restaurant I could work in, it would probably be a barbecue place. And I just like didn't think about it and just was like, I could do that. And he was like, oh, you're looking for a job? And I'm like, you know what? Sure, I am. So yeah, I started full time. To me, it was full time work. It was more than minimum wage. I was like, I'll do it for the summer, make some barbecue, like maybe I'll like look for a job in my field while I'm working, and like, maybe it'll just be like a kind of the summer thing, like I get a summer job, and there's a lot of hiring happens kind of September. They kind
Yeah,
of
for
work with
sure.
like school cycle, right? Yeah, so I was kind of like, well, maybe I'll do it for a summer, and it'll kind of be like a funny story. My kids
I
like,
worked at
oh,
a barbecue place, yeah.
I made barbecue for a summer when I, before you were born, sort of thing. But like, the more I did it, the more I loved it, and it didn't take long before I like just stopped looking for, another job and kept making barbecue.
How crazy is that? First off, Adam's a great guy. Was he the same Adam that we on the interview I did with him, the same excited?
Yeah.
He
Oh,
seems like a
yeah.
very positive force.
Exactly. And like he said to me, if you had to come in the day before they were in the paper, it was like, they had lawn chairs that they would sit in waiting for customers to come, right? He was like, I would have said, nah, we're not looking for anybody. And then of course, right after they're in the newspaper,
Wow.
he had like some people going like, oh, you guys looking for somebody? So somehow the like universe put me there
That's
on
weird, but
that
that's
day.
crazy.
When he was like, oh my God, I need somebody else to work here.
It's perfect timing.
Yeah.
How many briskets were they making at the time?
I think we did like eight to 12, kind of depending on the day, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, I think it was about that.
And how did he give you instruction, or did you feel like you knew from what you were doing, and you guys together winged it, or how, like, an
Yeah, so in early days, like he showed me how to trim. It was funny, the first night that I worked there, he got a gig down at North by Northeast, which is like our South by Southwest,
I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
slinging barbecue down at like the concert venue that they had. And they were like, oh, we're gonna have thousands and thousands of people, so we're gonna need like a ton of food. So we trimmed 60 briskets
Wow.
for that. That was my first night. It was him and I
Wow.
standing, and he like just learning, over and over and over, like
That's perfect for you.
exactly. And so we did that, and then the second night, gosh, I'm trying to think, I think we did like the ribs for it, and then I came back the week after to kind of like start the night shift, and it was like probably a couple hours, like 7 to about 9 p.m. And we went over everything, and he was kind of like, all right, I think you got a handle on it. See you later. I'm
Wow.
home to bed. At that point, they were putting on the briskets at the beginning of the day, like at 9 a.m., and they would take him off like 9 p.m., 10 p.m., and he would sleep on a couch, wake up at 4 or 5 a.m., start the rib cook. He was like living in the restaurant at that
Insanity.
point. So he was just like, "This is great. Have at it. I'm going to bed."
Well, and you showed
Which,
that you understood what you were doing.
yeah, and so like the first few months, it was a lot of like kind of like back and forth. So what I would do was the first brisket to come off, I would have the sheet pan with three briskets in the warmer, and it was literally one, two, three, next rack, four, five, six, like all the way down, all our briskets. And I had a notebook, and I would put when they were wrapped, what temperature they were wrapped, what time they came off, what temperature they came off at. And he could go back to the notebook and go like, okay, brisket number six was like super underdone, and would like go and be like, okay, like it's the same temperature as some other ones that were done, but like, for that one, like you gotta, it was maybe like a bigger brisket, and you had to do it a little further. Like, so it was like that kind of communication was just kind of
That's
trial and
smart. That's
error.
a really smart way to do it.
Yeah, it's because like we wouldn't see each other a lot. There were, I'd get in at 7 p.m. like like after he had left, and I'd go home at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. So yeah, it was like our only way to communicate, and I would sleep all day, so I was asleep when they were serving the brisket I cooked.
Wow, that's so crazy. And you weren't even cutting. Were you guys doing beef short ribs at the time?
I think our first summer we did like pastrami beef ribs on like Saturday only. I can't remember when exactly we adopted them, like kind of as our permanent Saturday special. But yeah, we were doing them at that point.
And scratch made sausage too, right?
Yeah. So they were making sausage during the day. That was our first morning cook, Matt, who was with Adam when before the restaurant opened. He since left, and he started like a Nashville hot chicken place in the West End of Toronto.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So during the day, they would make all the sausage from the trim that I would produce at night. Because what I would do was like my shift was basically prepping all the protein for the next morning, the ribs and the turkey, and cooking the brisket and the pork shoulders. And then yeah, they would come Matt would come in at 5 a.m. and he would do all like the morning cook.
And then was the restaurant, was it the same setup as it is now, or did you guys change the build as time went on?
I think every few weeks it changes. I think it's undergone about three minor like renovations at this point.
Wow.
Like it's like a big one side is a big warehouse, and the other side was offices. And at that point, it was like the kitchen, the pit room, and then the service counter, and then the dining room, and then the first winter, yeah, the first winter I was there, Christmas break, they knocked down like the bit of the wall and moved the fridge, like pushed the fridge in, and then put the like rotated everything 90 degrees so people could come in the one set of doors, go past the service counter, and then have more room. Because at that point, it'd be the lineup like went like almost diagonal, like in the dining room. So you like had to sacrifice like a quarter of the dining room to just have people come in, and so that way it like flowed a lot better.
Was it from the get-go busy?
Yeah, I mean, there were like I don't think we sold out nearly every day when we first opened. Sometimes you'd have like some sausage left over.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Saturdays have just always been bonkers.
Crazy.
Like it's always, there was like a first it would be like, 20 people in line, and then the next week it's like 25 people in line and 30 people in line. Like you can like chart, Adam has sales charts, and like you can literally watch like it just go up and up and up. And we're just like, when does it end? When does it become less popular than it was the year before? And like, It doesn't. It just keeps getting, like, we just keep serving more and more and more people.
And that's something, like, I know that people in Texas, when they first start out, sometimes they're not as busy, but then they blow up. But Toronto was, there was a void for this. This was something obviously that people really were interested in, and people probably were traveling to Austin or Texas, but they weren't getting that at all in Toronto. And everything kind of makes sense. Like, social media was blowing up at the time, like even bigger, Instagram especially. That's amazing. So when did you transition to start cutting?
I was a year into doing the night shift. I had a beard like down to here.
I
I
remember
didn't see
that.
this. Yeah, and I was like, dude, I'm going a little nutty here alone in this like warehouse at night. Like, can I come up to the day and like maybe I can do the front half of the brisket cook? Because at that point, they could kind of do, they could kind of do everything at once, and it was getting to the point when you're doing, 20, 25, 30 briskets. But then it was like, I think it makes sense to have somebody at the beginning of it, to just be watching those.
For sure.
And so he was like, okay. He's like, I agree. He's like, but he's like, I want somebody to, he's like, because at that point he was like, doing the expanding and like wanted to like get a second location. And so he was like, you if you do meat cutting from pre-orders from 9 10 a.m. and then after lunch, which is when the morning cook goes home, you guys trade off, and then you do the cook until like the new night guy shows up, then we kind of like have the whole day, 24 hours like covered sort of thing by somebody who's like dedicated to
Yeah.
cooking. So I was like, I like not like a super outgoing guy. Like the thought of dealing with that many, like customers was like kind of terrifying. But I think not like sleeping on an opposite schedule from literally everyone I knew
Yeah.
was like, and my want of not having that was like greater than my fear of like having to deal with customers. So I was just like, you know what? I'll do it. Like I'll try it out. And like maybe it won't be for me, but like I found that the better I got at meat cutting, like the more fun you could have, because you get kind of more into a flow state, and you kind of have like a lot of the same conversations. So it's not like it gets less and less scary the more you did it.
Yeah,
So
especially, yeah, because a lot of people, this is a fresh experience for them. So you're having that same, they're like, they ask you those same questions over and over again, yeah.
yeah, like I think at the beginning it was a lot of like we had a lot of nerds that were like seeking us out, who were like, oh yeah, I went to a bachelor party down in Austin and we went to this place and that place. Like we have people like that.
Of course.
We had like Texas expats, who like we had one of our first, like, I don't, what would you put it, not claim to fame, but like we had a woman from San Marco. And she hadn't been back to Texas in like 10 years, and she like was eating our brisket and just crying. Phoned her mom down in Texas and was just like, "Mama, like you wouldn't believe, like it's like I'm right back home. These brisket and the
Oh,
spare
that's
and potato salad, like, and like that for us was like better than any like restaurant review or whatever to have like
Oh,
a."
for sure.
So yeah, it was a lot of kind of people like that, a lot of people from the area. But yeah, we never advertised. It was all like word of mouth. So the more and more like it grew, the more people would come in and they'd be like, okay, I know this place is good. My friends recommended it, but they don't know anything about barbecue or like really what Texas barbecue is, or what Central Texas barbecue is, what Central Texas craft barbecue is. So like a big part of the being the meat cutter was like, being able to like give those people that experience. And like, some people were like, they'd come in, they knew it was good, but like you're telling them to eat off butcher paper and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people.
Or they're buying it by the pound like a deli, and they're just like, what? This is a restaurant. Like, where's the waiter to seat me sort of thing. It was a new experience for them. So I would say like a big part of the job was not just like cutting things and cutting them correctly. It was like, being able to like to guide people
Yeah,
through.
to hold their hands is to so to speak.
Yeah,
Yeah. And then also
seriously.
probably then the reaction after they've tried it and they come back or they walk by and they let you know like how they felt about it.
Yeah, you'd get people that would double back from the dining room and just like be like stop and be like, oh man, like this was great or that was great or like, you guys are doing a great job or whatever. Like, yeah, that was a very validating part of it,
Wow.
because it's rare that like you go into a restaurant and the person who's serving you is the same person who made the food, who's
For
the same
sure.
person,
Yeah, you see that like maybe in like a small niche sandwich shop or a sushi place or something. Like it's who it has touched things the whole way. Most of the time it's multiple people and people even also that might not even care.
So yeah, that was I did meat cutting for longer than I did the night shift, actually. I think it was about a year and a half.
But right now, you guys, how many briskets are you guys going through a day?
Right now on the low end, probably 20 something briskets. Saturdays probably closer to 65. To like 80 is probably the upper regions we've got to. And Sundays, which started off slower and are becoming like almost as big as Saturday, that we're doing, we might do 45, 50 briskets for service on Saturday. And Sunday used to be like, 26 or 30. And now we're doing like just as many, like 40,
Wow.
48. Yeah. So like word gets out that we're open on Sunday now. And the weekends are cuckoo.
So to avoid the cuckoo-ness, what would you recommend someone? What day would you recommend someone come? And then if they do come on a weekend, what time would you recommend someone come?
Actually, now what was it? Last year we went down to Texas, and I like set up where we were gonna go, and I did like the small craft places. I did like the bigger operations, like Terry Black's and like Miller's. And then the like new like the switch to like kind of see like a new place, and it was me and the GM and our kitchen manager and Adam and Allison, who started it with them. We all went down, and when we saw Terry Black's, it was kind of like this should be kind of like the new, like we went through another renovation when we came back, and it was based on like seeing the fact that we could go to Terry Black's and within, 20 minutes be from the outside the doors to like the
That's
cutting
interesting. I
station.
didn't think about that. That makes a lot of
We were like, that should be the new template for the counter. And so we redesigned it to be, it used to be meat cutter, sides, cash. And we flipped it so it was sides and then two cutting stations with two cashiers and people going up. So we based it off of that. So now we can like crush the lineups that used to take, half hour, 45 minutes, now like might take 10, 15 minutes
Oh,
or
that's great.
something.
So there's not like a secret time you have to come because you guys get people through.
No, and people have learned that like you don't have to slam the doors at 11 a.m. So it's actually we like during the weekdays we'll have kind of like a slower start to the day before it kind of picks up at noon as like everybody gets off for lunch like in the area sort of thing. So I would recommend coming on a Saturday or a Sunday because the dining room's going to be full. It's like a it's like a party. I'd say to really get the experience, like go Friday, Saturday,
Okay,
Sunday.
that's cool.
If you go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the dining room might be half full. There's kind of people on their lunch.
To get the full experience, you need to come on a weekend.
I'd say come like when we got like the music blasting and like it's rammed. It's a lot more fun,
It's a weekend vibe. Yeah, that makes sense. So what do you have? What's in store for you? What's coming up?
Well, basically last year I had my first kid and
Congratulations, yeah.
living thank you and living in Toronto with our rent is I think for a one bedroom, I read the other day, it's something like $2,200 or $2,300 on average. And
I've heard Toronto is one of the most expensive places.
yeah, and also one of the most overvalued, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of like investment property and a lot of like income property, Airbnb and foreign buyers, and it's like it's become a bit of a nightmare, the city. And
I've heard that skylines changed. There's a lot of things that have changed.
Yeah, tons of condos going up, but like a one bedroom condo is, like $600,000. Like
Stupid.
when I first moved here in 2010, I remember like a townhouse would be like 400 grand. And I'm like, 400 grand for a townhouse? That's crazy. And like now that same place probably sells for like close to $2 million.
Crazy. That and that's like that doesn't make sense to live. It's unbelievable. It's HGTV. It's all their fault. No, I'm joking.
So yeah, I like we just kind of took a like a lot of our friends, moved out of the city, moved to smaller towns, went to other coasts. A contingent of our friends that were from Kingston as well and had moved to Toronto, they kind of started trickling back home, and they started having kids, and we're like, what are we doing in this city other than working to pay for our rent? And now, as of last week, daycare. It's exceedingly expensive in Toronto, like more than our rent. And we're just like, we're basically working to like for the privilege of living in a city that we can't really enjoy because it costs so
No,
much.
that makes sense, yeah.
We were just like, what do we do? And I was like, look, I think barbecue can make us money. Like, I think we can, carve out a living out of this because there's nothing like it in Kingston. So we were just like our my wife's mom and my mom are both there. Like all our friends are there with their kids that are about the same age. So like, if not for the job prospects, just for the like support
For sure.
system
Oh, yeah.
in that city, we're just like, that is going to draw us home. So we'll bring barbecue with us. So yeah, it's a huge like leap of faith. Like it's terrifying to think like I have a well-paying job here. Adamson isn't going anywhere
No,
anytime
secure,
soon.
yeah.
It's a bit overwhelming, but like Adam's helping me out. He's like, we meet every few weeks. We have a sit down about, where are you at? Are you advertising here? Are you making sure you have these forms signed, like that sort of thing. Because he's been through all of this, and
That is awesome.
I'm basically following the same kind of formula. Like, I don't have like the $500,000 to like bankroll a barbecue joint. So I'm going to do the same thing, start with a small catering thing. There's right near Kingston, about 45 minutes, an hour away, is this this place called Prince Edward County, and it's right on Lake Ontario, and it's like beautiful rolling green hills and farmland and beaches, and so it's a huge summer destination. A lot of destination weddings happen there, so. It's funny, my wife and I got married in Prince
Oh,
Edward County.
okay.
I'm kind of like, well, like, I think the work is there. We just need to make a name for ourselves.
And it's called
Matty Boy Barbecue.
Matty Boy Barbecue. And so, how far off, if people are watching this either now or in the next few months, how far off, what's kind of the time frame? Are you looking to early next year or
Yeah, I'm looking for like summer next
summer
year.
next year?
So
That's what, okay, that's what it was.
June, July, something like that. I think it kind of depends on, finding a place to live and like how many things I book before then. Because like I've launched it now a year early, so that hopefully I can have work like when I go there. So
Could you do caterings? You can't do them now. Like coming 2020, if people want catering, will they be able to start getting it closer to that June, July time? Or can they come, if you wanted something in March, is that something that you could do right now, or is that not part of the equation?
yeah, like absolutely. If there's something earlier in 2020 and it's like a weekend thing, I'd be able
Okay.
to for sure. In terms of like moving there and permanently setting up shop, like yeah, summer 2020.
And then what about, do you have a pit right now or?
Yeah, so if you go way, way back in Adamson's timeline, you'll see like a double 500-gallon
Yeah.
trailer. That's Adam's giving me that pit.
Oh, that's cool.
We have a guy that's like on a work visa, or not a work visa, but he's from Australia, Brent. He's our current morning cook, and he's gonna start his own thing and go back to Australia. But he was a welder in Australia before he came here to work at Adamson. So
Interesting.
I'm like, and we're both like nerds when it comes to like pit design, and like anytime we can find like a photo of like the firebox intake or like. We have like hundreds of photos saved to those. We're hoping to like make some like mods to it to like insulate the
Cool.
firebox and like try to like improve airflow and stuff. So
Oh, that's cool.
that's kind of like my current project is kind of is modding that, and then and yeah.
Well, after this video comes out, of course, then you'll have to probably ramp up everything and move out there in February. No, no, but at least like it's doing all the things, the social media things, and then hopefully this too. That's why I wanted to talk to you, was to kind of get people to think, okay, this is coming up. This is something that they should keep in their back of their minds, because like, so now if they, how would, if someone's coming from the States, how would they visit your potential new location? Where would they fly into?
So they would fly into either Toronto or Ottawa.
Okay.
Like Kingston's like smack dab,
Oh,
kind of
perfect.
right in the middle. It's
Okay.
like about 2.5, 3 hours from Toronto, and it's about like 1 hour 45, 2 hours from Ottawa. So you're kind of like right in the middle.
Okay. Where's Thunder Bay? That's kind of a random question. Do you know where that is?
That's north.
That's north. Okay. No, because I went cross country when I was 19 with a friend who his family was from Canada, so we crossed up into Canada a bunch of times to drink legally. And then we also, but we went to Thunder Bay and it was so beautiful. And there's, I think that if you're watching this and you haven't been to Canada and you live anywhere that's not in Canada, I would recommend visiting. It's, there's some beautiful, beautiful places. And
It's funny because like Queen students, go to the university. They only know Kingston in the winter when it's like it's right on a lake. It's like freezing, high winds. It's all kind of gray. And but like Kingston in the summer is like beautiful, like green spaces, these old limestone buildings. Like it's like gorgeous. And it's funny because Queen students will be like, "Oh, like Kingston, this like city sucks." And it's like you're not like when because I was from Kingston, like you have no idea what you're missing out on. Like the number of tourists that come here just for the city is nuts.
that's so
So yeah,
funny. Wow, that's crazy. Are you excited about this?
oh for sure, yeah. I'm like I'm doing like more caterings like with Adamson, because I used to just like it would either be like Adam would do caterings, or we kind of concentrated more on the restaurant, and the more kind of staff we have, the more caterings we could take on. And so like I'm going out and doing those just for like practice of doing them, the pack up, the setup, those sorts of things. But I'm also doing pop-ups between now and then, like get a bit of seed money
Oh,
going,
that's smart.
so, and just like I don't know, stretching creatively, do some different, different types of barbecue and that sort of thing.
I want people to be able to check you out.
So Instagram and Twitter, it's Matty Boy BBQ, and it's MattyBoyBBQ.com.
And then, are you on Facebook?
Also, I have a Facebook page.
People still do use Facebook. I don't know. I guess a lot of people do.
It's mostly that my Instagram posts to it, but it's funny, like I'll look at it and realize that people that didn't like it on Instagram saw it on Facebook,
Yeah.
so it's there.
Yeah.
However you want to get photos of briskets, you'll find it.
It's Matty Boy Barbecue. It's do any kind of search and it'll pop up. So you are gonna do little pop-ups every so often?
Yeah, so at the only day of the week that Adamson's not open is Monday. So I did a couple like Christmas pop-ups the last couple of years on a Sunday, and when we opened on Sunday, I was kind of like, oh well, nobody's gonna come out on a Monday or whatever. But like lately, I'm kind of like, well, somebody will. Like why am I like not letting me like why am I not letting myself do a pop-up just because it's a Monday night?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna come out like so yeah. Like between now and then, I'm hoping to have a few of them.
Like a brewery or something, or
Oh no, like at Adamson
oh,
on
actually,
Monday.
at okay, it'll be a special. Okay, I didn't. Okay,
And
I'm sorry, I'm obviously tired.
I'm hoping that like when I kind of have like a solid, month that I'm gonna leave, the month before, what I want to do is like do a like restaurant takeover and use all like my recipe for, coleslaw, potato salad, beans, the ribs, like. Because I've kind of been building up all my own like little things in my head of my own recipes, so I want to kind of like launch it before I kind of head out.
So do a restaurant takeover of Adamson.
Yeah, just like on a Monday night, 5 p.m. to sold out or whatever. Just like treat it like a like it was my own place
That's
for a
cool.
few
No,
hours.
that's really cool, and that's such great exposure, and you're getting all this the like people. And also too, I would love to in maybe 6 months or as we get closer to that date, do another a follow up, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. That way, get people not more of an idea of what you what's happening, because it's still kind of not up in the air locate the specific location wise, what you're the hours, the days. So I think that would be great to give people an update if you don't mind.
Like Prince Edward County and Kingston have like, my bread and butter hopefully is like doing weddings and stuff, but they've got like dozens of breweries and
Perfect.
wineries and cideries and like I'm hoping that between between doing specific caterings that I can do pop-ups at breweries and kind of like bounce
Yeah, that's
around,
perfect.
keep getting my name out there. So hopefully, in a few months' time, I'll kind of like have an idea of, what places, when, and where that
Cool.
people can kind of follow me around
Yeah,
until
no.
until I have a permanent location, which, I think is further away, but that's the goal,
Oh, that's and people, that's what people do these days. They do pop-ups, they do that, and then they and that and it, and then it becomes more frequent, and then you have your permanent location, and who knows, maybe you won't have it, maybe you'll just, who knows, the pop-up lifestyle, doing it for 3 or 4 years would be like mentally tough, unless you're a caterer, that's what you do.
It's pretty exciting. It's
I'm
gonna be
really
like
happy
a
for you.
it's like gonna be a whole new experience. And I like, Adamson just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And like at a certain point, it's like I wanted to like just kind of hone in and like do my own thing, and so yeah, it was kind of like this is the opportunity to do it. So
And you've got the blessing of Adam too, which is awesome. And this is really cool. I'm really happy for you, and I'm glad you took the time. And you're going to work today, right?
No, I work Wednesday to
Oh,
Saturday. Long shifts, but only 4 days a week. So, I
that's
mean,
perfect.
I'm pretty much on call with all the barbecue related
Well, obviously,
questions
you're
and
going to get calls during this interview, so.
fridge inventory issues and those sorts of things.
Wow, that's cool. Well, say hi to Adam for me, and thank you for taking the time. And oh gosh, this is great. I'm really excited. Thank you again. Thank you so much.
Excellent.